Thank you. You didn't answer my question. What happens if you have an incident on this runway with a dash eight? Does that leave you just a conquest or a smaller plane coming in here?
I don't even want to think about that. But I mean, in terms of our, I don't know. It depends on.
I just wanted some clarification on the NTSB report, because the NTSB, soon after the crash, cleared the Saab to fly here. So it keeps coming, I don't mean to be mean or anything, but the NTSB cleared the Saab to fly here, but it was Raven who decided not to let the Saab fly here. So the perception is that Raven wanted to use the Saabs in other places, and this was a good excuse not to bring it out here. So just give me a chance to answer.
I'll refer you to the answer on here. I mean, if you look at the fourth question on the FAQs, when will the Saab be back? I mean, we, as I previously said, I can't comment on the NTSB investigation. Yes, we made the decision not to fly the Saab down here because of the crash. And until we know what the NTSB results are, we will not be flying back yet on the Saab.
I see on your little questionnaire here that you have a home for the holidays where it reserves a few seats.
Yes.
Is that going to continue year-round?
We're trying to look at that. I know there's been some programs in place that's allowed for the local community, particularly in the peak season. The answer is I don't know yet, but we're aware that that's something that will be important for the community.
So with all due respect here, we keep hearing of, we don't have that answer yet.
Yeah.
We don't know yet. We're working on that, which is appreciated. And again, I'll touch on that, that yes, it is very appreciated to have this open dialogue here. However, with the position and the roles that you introduced you and you to, it would seem that you would have the decision-making power to do something for this community. All we hear is that you're taking care of the fisheries, you're taking care of the schools. This is a community, diverse, and we are tight-knit, but everything is take, take, take. So what do you have the answers to give us clarity to at this point? We've got higher costs, we've got less baggage, we've got basically no pass-through benefits. We can't use our Alaska Airlines because, as it's been touched on, the community is what is whole here, and you have nothing in place for any of us.
Well, in all due respect, I think that we have put that program in place for the peak season to get everyone back from the holidays. So I think
that,
right, I understand that. At the moment, as if you recall, we had a three-stage plan in terms of what we were doing, and we wanted to ensure that both the community and the fishing industry, which are obviously very closely linked, the major changes that we've made for a season to ensure that we've got the seats coming down here for everybody has been a major undertaking. At the moment, I am aware that that can be an issue, and we have not spent time on it because in terms of our list of priorities, it is not there. I'm not aware of any lack of seats other than during the A season at the moment. So February through to the end of May, I think there are plenty of seats still available. There's obviously some things we need to do with the...
be Dutch Anchorage come middle of March to the end of April, because
that's haul out season.
Yes,
that's when you're moving all the processors.
Right, but in terms of our, and Missy, tell me if I'm not, we haven't done anything with our inventory yet for the haul out season, have we?
No.
We there might be, but we haven't done anything to our inventory and our seats available. The point raised about the 100 points opposed to 50 points, we're learning. We will try. We'll make sure that they are available. But overall, we are trying to serve everybody as best we can here in Unalaska, but also throughout our network in Alaska.
Right. We understand that we're not the only ones that you service, and you know we understand that there will be changes that have to adapt to. But please don't forget the community members when you're speaking in your dialogue, because not every single one of us has the $1,300 to drop on a family of four, like Frank said. Please keep us in mind, because we are all in this together.
Yes.
And really, this is going to be a bread and butter port for you. So what can you do for us? Because we're missing that point, because we're not hearing any of that.
Right.
Okay, well,
I'm just trying to keep it open here.
Yeah, I understand, and that's why we've recognized, and we're trying to do what we can with the points to double those up to see what we can do, so you can try and gain those quickly. We understand that. And if there are any other ideas that we can have, then please let us know. I mean, we haven't run scheduled services here. We don't know fully what the booking patterns are, what the demands, when we know the seasonality, but we don't know all the demands. So we're learning as well, and hopefully we can learn together, and sometimes we're going to be able to say yes, and sometimes we're going to say no. Okay. The lady in the back.
Thank you. First off, thank you for coming and hosting us. So the communication has always been lacking for the last couple of months. So it's good that we have this dialogue. So I appreciate that. First, you said you're learning about, I have just a couple points to bear with me. First, say you're learning about the whole dynamics of the season and stuff. I said, which I kind of find surprising because you were operating under the umbrella of Panair last eight seasons, so this really shouldn't be new. You should know about the whole flow of people.
We know about the seasonality. What we don't know about is the rest of the demand patterns, booking patterns. When you're in the airline industry, it's like when you're managing seats, and then you want to try and make sure you're being as fair as you possibly can to your customers, but also we have responsibilities to ensure that the route is profitable.
Thank you. And I understand you're a company for profit. I don't think anybody here is going to deny that. So I get that. But so then that leads me into my next question, is that a couple of months ago, early on, when you were having discussions with basically, and not just the seafood industry, because they're going to bring the most people out here at a certain smallest amount of time, you said you could meet the capacity of 70-80% of their needs during this given time period. Now it's a 50% from my sources. So I'm wondering, what out of your fleet are you dedicating to charters? I mean, are you dedicating these Dash 8s to charters? And then is that taken out of the fleet that you had originally dedicated to bring passengers out here in general, not only to seafood but to other people?
Let me clarify. We have now had we've been given back some seats from the fishing industry, and we're working through that. That final one was given to us yesterday. We had, I think, 89% we managed to get to? 80% we managed to get to for the scheduled services. We have...
that's the blocks that we provided.
Yeah. Those are the blocks, yes. So we blocked off those seats, which we really got given from Alaska Airlines. Obviously, we didn't manage those seat blocks before. We're now managing that in our own system, which we didn't do before. We've been given back some seats from the fishing industry. They said, yeah, okay, we don't need those seats on these dates. So we will be looking at that. The charters that we had in place already were actually booked some time ago. There aren't a huge amount coming down here. Some days we've also got charters out for the fishing industry out to St. Paul in a similar period. We have got planned an average of 5 flights a day. Some days it'll be 4, some days it'll be 6. We have the capability with our pilot group that has been trained now to fly 7 flights a day, and if we have the aircraft available, we will do charters. But at the moment, we've been discussing with the fishing industry just on the scheduled seats, not on charters. They have chartered some ACE on the Beach 1900, I know that. They didn't come to us for those, but they went to ACE for those. They have asked us for some charters, but we don't know yet because we haven't finalized all the seats that we gave them on the scheduled services. Frank,
yes.
Yeah, I know you weren't ignoring me. That's why I sat up front. So, I'm real concerned about if we have weather conditions in January and February, which we always do. Has there been any thought by headquarters of bringing the Saab 2000 to Cold Bay and use a couple of Dash 8s to shuttle people in when you have an event, when you've got 300 people backed up. I think that should be something you should think about, because that would, and I really don't understand, you have 10 Dash planes, and how are you going to do 6 flights to Unalaska? How are you going to take care of the rest of your system in the January and February?
Because we're taking the Saab into those other areas so that we can use the Saab into the areas that we can fly into, and we're getting another couple of airports trained up and applicable for the Saab to fly into. So,
and I know there's not a lot of facilities that you have dedicated use for in Cold Bay, yeah, except for getting fuel. But
has,
I think that might be something
discussed
to think about if we have an event where you're backed up 300 people.
The problem for us then is that we're tying up even more aircraft, and you, as you said, the Cold Bay facilities really don't warrant that. It was one of the first things that we looked at, in fact, with Alaska Airlines, and it soon became a logistics issue, and if aircraft get stuck there. So we, at the moment, will not be doing that.
Okay. Well, I have one final question. Last week or 10 days ago, my wife had one of the non-refundable $550 tickets. Okay. We had a projected storm, I don't know if it was December 3rd or December 4th coming. So she went and got a change the date on the ticket. And I'm not sure if it's you or that One Travel. What's that number One Travel do you guys use? Is that, do you guys own that?
No, that's that's an online travel agency.
Well, she, anyway, she rebooked and she had a $550 ticket, and they charged her $350 for changing the flight for one day. And naturally, when she did that, the plane canceled because it didn't get here in time. So it was the last flight, it was dark, so they didn't come.
One
still didn't get refunded. So the next day she went into standby, and so the ticket was $900 one way to Anchorage. And I don't know if that's your fault or if it's that Number One Travel, because sometimes your website sends us to the travel agency. And I don't know.
Well, that you have to be very careful when you, particularly with Google and other search engines, that is a problem that the travel industry has. And I know One Travel particularly do that, but that
well,
is
I
not,
never
that
heard
is
of
not,
One Travel before until
yeah,
we started
they,
trying to book.
That's not our website.
So what happens is that's a very, very large travel agency that pays for ads, and they pay for higher SEOs. So that when any kind of a link, even if it's flyraven.com, if you click on flyraven.com, they come up above us. So people automatically assume that's us. But if you don't look at the URL and see that it's One Travel, and you click on it, you think you're on our site.
When you first started doing it, though, automatically we couldn't get it. I couldn't book a ticket on you guys directly on your website at first. And then we just automatically got kicked over to One Travel.
I'm only sharing that with you from the standpoint of watch for that, because
who do we complain about? Just we have to buy a refundable ticket at $660.
What are you? I mean, if that
but
non-refundable.
They charged her, and I think she did it at the counter here in Unalaska, that to change the ticket was a $350 fee on a $550 ticket.
The agency charged her, or we charged her?
Well, I'm not sure who charged her. I'll have to go ask her again.
Okay.
She thought it was Raven that charged her.
I recently got caught up on the One Travel myself personally. What wasn't recently? It was actually a year ago. But I couldn't believe how easy it was to get linked up with that company when I really thought I was going to United Airlines. I'm only sharing it with you to be conscientious about that. When you really watch the URL.
So if she goes and rebooked it, changed the ticket she had originally, it might not have been you guys that charged that fee. But I thought that was outrageous. But she had to leave. She had medical stuff.
It's like also using Expedia or Travelocity. We can't even touch those tickets. You have to go back to. They're the ones that actually theoretically own it.
Well, anyway, that's outrageous, and I.
Yep.
What is your change fee for Raven? If you buy a non-refundable ticket and you want to change it, what is your actual fee for that?
I'm going to have to recall
$100.
$100.
Yeah, that's, I expected Alaska charges $125 or
I think
depending
it's
if you're gold or something, it's less.
$75. Yeah, I think we're slightly cheaper than Alaska Airlines on that.
And we have a name change.
Gentlemen.
You're talking about the call center. I mean, a lot of it is lack of information, and I've been flying Raven on other routes, Homer, King Salmon, Dillingham for years. As soon as you took over for Penn Air, your fee structure changed for the additional fees and extra charges and baggage fees. It goes back long before the incident here. Is it a call center, or is it just the Anchorage counter people answering the phone? Because it does take a long time to get to somebody, and Dutch Harbor in Unalaska is unique to itself. When we have weather delays, we back up, obviously, tremendously. So is it a true call center, and do you put more people on for it at times, or is it just the counter people picking up the phone when we call it?
Absolutely a call center. We have up to 20 people that are on the phones from 7 in the morning till 7 at night, 7 days a week. And that was increased recently. We also have, when the phones get really busy, we try and transfer that to the Valdez. But no phone calls are put through to Anchorage. They're too busy, and we don't have the resource, and they're not trained to do that. We've also recently opened up a two-seat call center in Bethel, which is our other major, as I call it, a hublet, our small, but we have up to 18 aircraft based out in Bethel, and we've got two people based there now, 6 days a week, servicing that area as well. We do get, when there's weather, again, Bethel was a good example recently, it was closed for 2 days, that's when we get swamped. On top of that, we've tried to put some technology in place. We used to get a lot of calls that were coming in asking how many points have I got in my Flyaway Rewards program. We've now automated that, and you can actually just put your number in and a voice will tell you exactly how many points you have. So we've been looking at both technological issues to free up our customer service agents in the call center to answer whether it's weather or whatever it might be. We're also automating our program for where's the flight, is it coming on time or not, which we'll hopefully be launching as well soon. So that's about flight information as well. So we've been focusing on improving our call centers, but it is definitely a call center that is answering calls for taking bookings, changing bookings, and our Flyaway Rewards program. Thank you. Gentlemen.
I have a couple comments as well as a question. So, like others have said, I'd like to say thank you for coming here today and doing this. I think it's a step in the right direction as far as having a good relationship.
Thank you.
I feel it's real important to have a good relationship between the air carriers and the communities that they serve. In regards to your rewards program, I feel that I speak for many of us in this room and in the community that I think we're a little less impressed with that, with your guys' rewards program. I guess I can't stress enough to you that you know, whatever you need to do to mend the relationship or come up with an agreement with Alaska Airlines for the mileage program, I think that's a huge, huge thing for all of us. So, and the question is there anything Raven can do, or is Raven involved with the communities they serve, or like, for example, runway, if you see the community, maybe it could be safer with a buffer zone, for example, like another couple hundred feet of runway here. Is there ways that Raven can be involved with, you know, lobbyists or you know, are they, you know, jerking on our chains of our senators or whoever to maybe get some funding for our runway? I mean, is there anything that they can do, or are you guys doing anything to help in that arena?
I'm not aware of anything that we're doing at the moment. I mean, our focus has been in getting the Dash service here and set up and operating. As I mentioned earlier, I'm aware of the white paper that's been created, and part of that is looking again at the runway, looking at EAS, and anywhere that we can help, we'll be very happy to do so. We do on occasion use lobbyists. I don't know whether they'd be the right ones for this, but certainly we would want to be and hopefully involved in any of those discussions. The lady at the back.
I just wanted to say that my husband and I, we also own our own business, so we understand, you know, there's a balance between profitability and services and different things like that. But So I understand that you can't just drop everything for us here and you have to balance everything out. And I appreciate that that is problematic. And just real briefly on the miles, what you're doing, you know, double miles is great, but it's not there all the time. And since we had our own business, we had Alaska Airlines mileage card. My husband and I have lived here for over 30 years and we raised 5 children here. Without miles, we wouldn't be going on vacation. Just saying. So anyhow, that's a big concern for local families. But I just want to touch on that last month, my husband and I were headed to the Fish Expo for research for future projects for a commercial fishing boat. It was a trip that I had planned with my daughter-in-law 5 months ago. My daughter flew down from Fairbanks because she was expecting us to be there, and the planes didn't fly because of weather. I can deal with that. As I said, I've lived here for over 30 years. However, what is difficult is when you guys don't have enough. When I called to see if there'd be an extra section, I was told that there weren't enough planes and there weren't enough flight crews to do that, which was frustrating for me because I was really looking forward to this trip, of course, and take care of business. And so I was told I could just book on the next available day. Well, the next available day was the day that I was going to be flying back from my trip. So I spent half of a day canceling things that we had set up. So now I'm looking at when I book tickets in the future for a trip, do I need to book a week or two in advance in the hopes that I actually can make it there if there's weather? And, or since you guys fly in Alaska and a lot of places in Alaska bush communities, smaller airports and things like that, weather is an issue. Have you considered, you know, whether it would work out to have a couple extra planes so that you can fill in on some extra sections, or because you have so many areas that might have weather that it might be profitable to do that or not? I have a trip coming up. I'm supposed to leave Saturday. I want to go meet my new grandson, and I have a limited amount of time to be gone. And so, you know, that tugs at my heartstrings. And so anyway.
Yeah.
The good news, I think, is that previously with the Saab, we had 5 aircraft, and that's what we were flying down here. We now have 10 aircraft that can actually fly down here. So the probability of us being able to, and we have a fleet of basically 15 now. I mean, this time last year, Penn Air had 5 and we had 10. We've now combined that fleet to 15, which gives us the ability to do what you're talking about, but we're just restricted to the dash in terms of extra sections. We absolutely want to fly our customers. If we don't fly our customers, we don't make the revenue. So our drive is always to move our customers whenever we possibly can. As I said, I think our likelihood of when there's bad weather in bringing people down has increased because we've got more aircraft and we've got the pilots that are now trained. I understand the frustration of that. I mean, we've been learning that out in St. Paul. We had last week two of the flights were cancelled and we put on extra sections for them. They'd already, and those were all full flights with 25 people. It is frustrating, but I assure you, we get just as frustrated because we want to move our passengers and customers around the state. Thank you.
Just a quick question. You said you have 10 of those Dash 8s basically available to fly here now that they're in service. How many of those 10 are dedicated to Dash?
None are dedicated. So what we do is that we are... Well, none are permanently dedicated, but in terms of how we build the schedule up, we see at the moment we're anything between 2 and 3 flights. In A season, it goes up to, as I said, on some days, we will have 6 aircraft coming down here in a day, an average of 5. And then when we get out of A season, it'll be back to the 2 or 3 flights a day to do that. So you can't dedicate an aircraft just to that route because you need to utilize it to do a short trip to Kenai or to Dillingham afterwards. So we're using the aircraft as much as we possibly can throughout the day.
Just two things I want to say. It's just hard to sit here and listen because it all sounds really good, but the reality that we're dealing with here is very different. You know, I mean, she missed her first trip, so she's worried about her next trip. And you talk about working with the schools, and I have a friend that's a teacher. She's going to be stuck in Anchorage for 10 days because there's just not enough availability for her to get back. Like, I canceled a medical trip, and I know plenty of other people that have canceled medical trips because we don't want to get stuck in Anchorage and miss work. So it's just, I just still wish that a little bit more was being done. Like, it sounds good, but at the same time, we can't trust that we're actually going to be taken care of and there will be enough flights.
Okay.
But the second thing I just want to
say...
Sorry,
let me just start on the availability of seats. If anything, we've cancelled a few flights because the demand has not been there. And when we've had three flights, we've looked at it and said, well, actually, we had some flights that only had five or six people on it either way. So we actually cancelled that third flight and gave them the option to fly in the morning or the evening. So at the moment, I'm not aware of any issues about seat availability. 26th of December onwards, coming down here from Anchorage, yes, and that's why we've got the Home for Holidays program in place, particularly for teachers and other people coming back, is holding those seats for all of you here in Unalaska. So we're trying to do that.
Just the same thing, and I know trust was mentioned earlier, and really, I feel weary just getting on a plane at all because of the inexperienced pilots and the history that now we know about, and I just, is there any way for you to get like the pilot certificate put on there so we can know that we're flying with someone that we can trust?
I assure you, please let me reassure, and we've spent a lot of time, and the qualifications that we have are higher than you would normally have, and that's why there was a delay in us operating the scheduled services, is that we wanted to ensure the processes that we have, the procedures that the pilots have, the experience that the pilots have, was at the right level. And we've been training and we've now got the right number of experienced pilots. I mean, we have been flying down here. A lot of our pilots have been flying down here over the last 10 years.
So there's no way to get a visual for us just to feel good that we're...
I assure you... They are all fully qualified, and if not more qualified, because we've put in place additional qualifications for those pilots to fly down here into Dutch Harbor, serving on Alaska.
If they got gray or silver hair, that's what I always look for.
Well, they can only be 30 years old.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a lady in the back.
Hi. Catherine Weiner, teacher and president here. Again, thank you for coming there. I think having like people said in the conversation is really important. I was just kind of seeking some more clarification on the answer you gave Frank, the first question you had about Alaska Airlines. I think I just found it really unsatisfying, and you know, maybe you're not at liberty to say anything. It's just, as people have mentioned here, that Alaska Airlines program is so much to this community, and I find it really difficult to, I don't know, get excited or get on board with your Raven program when it pales in comparison. My husband and I just moved back this past year from Juneau. He's a full-time teacher, so that's why he's not here now. But the Alaska Airlines program is a big factor in why we moved here again. And you know, I know everyone has so many stories, and it's hard not to get emotional about it. But you know, my mom wasn't able to come out for Christmas and see him. Just because we can't afford that ticket. Everything we have is geared toward Alaska Airlines, and I know you do the buy five and get one free, but to spend, you know, $3,500 or $2,500 and get a $500, you know, discount is nothing, you know, compared to what we're used to, compared to what we've had. So anyway, if you could just maybe elaborate more on what's going on with you and Alaska Airlines, and I just don't know who to... who to talk to, you know? I don't know who to petition. Do I write a letter to your CEO? Do I write it to Alaska Airlines? I'll probably do both, but like, what is it, you know, is the holdup they don't want to be associated with your company, or it's just not economically feasible? for Raven to be in partnership with them? Would you be better off without them?
I understand the frustration. I will go back to the answer I gave earlier, that that is a question specifically for Alaska Airlines. We are in discussions, and I said we've been in discussions with them for a long time about the whole program. But let me reiterate and go back that we are still a strong partner with Alaska Airlines throughout the network. But at the moment, that's the decision that's been made
by Alaska Airlines.
And I suggest that you contact Alaska Airlines on that point. We are a small regional carrier. Our program that we have in place is for Alaska is very competitive. It is also very generous. The Alaska Airlines mileage program is, and I'm a member of the Alaska Airlines mileage program. It is an excellent program. There's a reason it gets voted every year the best frequent flyer program, because customers love it and use it, and it's a generous program. And the credit card is, if you use your credit card, as the lady over here does with the business, it really helps. I know that doesn't help. I'm afraid I know that doesn't help you, but we understand it. We are trying to be as generous as we possibly can. Our aircraft are much smaller. Please remember that we have our smaller aircraft, that we also have those seats available. So I've got to look at our frequent flyer program, whether they're in a 7-seat 207 or a 37, 45-seater with the dash and sub. So we have some challenges with our program, but we try and be as competitive, and I know we are competitive generally in Alaska, but not necessarily directly with the Alaska Airlines mileage program.
But Derek, your other communities, St. Paul, they get miles. In San Point, they get miles on Alaska Airlines. Why are we the ones that have to get punished?
I wouldn't say it's punished, but I understand.
That's the question. And it's either you want the profit of having control of the route and not have to give any money back to Alaska. Maybe that's maybe it's a money issue. But you know, we have people chartering, taking Grant to St. Paul so they can get their Alaska Airlines miles from St. Paul to Anchorage and wherever else they were going. And that's how bad it was during the month we didn't have any service at all. But that really is that's a big issue for me, is why do the people out of St. Paul and Sandpoint and Dillingham, King Salmon, they're in the mileage program, but we're the only ones that's not in the mileage program.
Gentlemen, back.
I just got a ticket right here. I'm booking a 12,500-mile ticket from Seattle to Homer that connects on Raven through Alaska. So it's a little disingenuous to say we're travel partners, we've got strong partners with Alaska, not to be clear about, except for here. This is the only place that matters to us. We don't care about Bethel and Dillingham and flying other places. When you're in Southern Alaska, the door to go anywhere is Anchorage. Right. And I think the common theme that you hear here that maybe isn't quite being said, but when we talk about priority boarding and things in Anchorage, when we're backed up and all these mileage issues, it's the competition between local families and big industry. I would like to know what kind of change fees and call fees and baggage fees apply to the industry when they book all the flights. And I've been there in Anchorage at 3 a.m. with two little babies waiting in line, and they tell you to come back every, 3 a.m. First come, first serve. There's 250 people that sleep in the airport. So to compete for those first seats, you gotta bring your babies or whatever and sleep on the floor at the airport if you wanna be first come, first serve. So the only way we've been able to sort of level the playing field as locals is to play the mileage game with Alaska Airlines. That's our only way to get to the front of the line for priority boarding or to have local access. That's the only way we've been able to level that playing field. The seafood industry can hire somebody today and put them on a plane. We got to book ourselves 6 months in advance and hope the flight goes that day or we end up at the back of the line. So that's the real difficulty in the community. We're a small group in a community with families. I hate to generalize about the seafood industry, but there's a lot of people that are
never been here before, first time here, and they're single travelers. They're coming here to work. And we can't compete with that. It's not a level playing field. I don't think they're paying $670 for a refundable ticket like I am. I don't know what they're paying. But without that Alaska mileage plan being active, we can't, that's our only way to compete. Now, if we can't, then we're at the back of the line, 300 people in Anchorage. And what do you do if your kids are at home or your pets or your, you know, it makes it, I guess the part that you miss when you talk about capacity of people is you can't count the people that are not coming home for Christmas this year. You can't count those of us that canceled trips and walked away and stayed home. And I think a lot of us has kind of adopted this shelter-in-place mentality that we can't go access this. So I do appreciate you coming out. I think we need to have this conversation, and it might not be pleasant, but we need more of it. There's a lot of it pent up in the community, and we need to understand each other. I totally get the difficulties of flying out here and all that. I've been here for 30 years. I've watched, and it's interesting, if you go back and read the Wikipedia history of Mark Air, it sounds like a lot like what Raven currently is. The biggest carrier in Alaska, dominated the whole thing, blah, blah, blah. We watched them come and go. But having that mileage plan is critical to us being able to live here and manage our families here. The price of fuel nationally went down 3 cents a couple weeks ago. Nationwide, we went up 10 or 15 cents. A year ago, October, the nationwide fuel prices dropped, we went up 40 cents. The grocery store is probably one of the most profitable ones in the state. From the outside, I think people look at this community as a rich community, but from the inside, I think people are drowning in debts and costs. So while big industry can get a discount, and many of us grumble because they pay less on the water bill or whatever rates than we do, because they buy in bulk, they're not paying what we're paying, and we end up being a small group that gets dinged over and over now with baggage fees, change fees, fee to talk on the phone. I bought a fully refundable, well, it doesn't say fully refundable, it says refundable ticket the other day for $670. And then I read in the fine print that it's $10, the $10 charge to refund that ticket. I also found out the no-show fee, if you're not on your flight, if you can't make your flight, if you don't notify you 4 hours in advance, it's $200. Because of the confusion, I understood that I had to buy separate tickets. I bought a ticket for my son to fly into Anchorage and a separate ticket to fly out here. He's got a close connection in Portland tomorrow night. Flying from Boston, he's got an hour. If there's weather in Boston and he misses that flight, there's a chance he might not be able to make the 9 a.m. flight out here. So because I couldn't ticket it together, and I called both Alaska Airlines and the call center yesterday after the fact, and neither one of them seemed to know anything about it. Now I'm in this dilemma. What happens if his flight cancels? That if he doesn't make that 9 p.m. flight out of Portland, the call center's closed at 7 p.m. Doesn't open till 7 a.m. Now what do I do? So what? I don't understand the point of buying a refundable ticket that now I'm gonna get charged for changing or whatever. But I think the heart of, I'm wandering off here. The heart of this thing though is that this mileage plan is critical for us to try and level the playing field with seafood industry and the rest of the industry. And it really does, it's a tipping point for families living here. I've got a lot of people that work with me that years ago, because of costs, have moved their family out of town. And now the father, whoever, flies in and out and works. Because taking a family of four out of town twice a year, you're gonna spend $10,000. And it's ridiculous. And the mileage plan enables people to reduce that cost a little because they fly further on Alaska. I don't know what your demographics are, but I don't know a lot of people that fly from here to other places in Alaska. I would say above 95% of people out of here are going to Seattle. They're going to Anchorage for business, or they're going to Seattle. You know, so when we hear about all the other places you serve, I that's great, but that doesn't, everybody from here wants to go south. So I don't know how to get you to understand the need for that program. We're all heavily invested in it. We've got thousands of dollars we've invested in it. I worked my butt off this last year and this year to get MVP Gold so I can get priority boarding so I don't pay change fees. That's money I spent to be able to do that. And that's because we've got to compete against the big industry that goes and blocks out 3 weeks of seats, and I don't know what they pay to fly somebody from Seattle to Dutch, but I know it's not what we're paying. Yeah. So we get stuck with all that stuff, and then it's, and I don't mean to be offensive personally, but when the first thing I'm told is, here, join my mileage plan, just throw away what you've done for 30 years, throw away this whole thing and take ours, I feel offended, and I just want you to know how I'm feeling.
Well,
so
let me clarify. First of all, we had no intent to offend anybody, and secondly, we do fully understand the frustration of not being able to use the mileage program. That is not a decision made by the Raven Air Group. You need to talk to Alaska Airlines, and I understand the frustration.
That's what we need to
and hear. We have that program. As I said, throughout the state, except for Dutch Harbour, and as I mentioned, I think many times this afternoon, we are in discussions with Alaska Airlines. We've raised that issue, and it is with them at the moment. But we certainly, and again, we acknowledge that our program is not as suitable for you down here in Unalaska as the Alaska Airlines mileage program is. We are a small regional carrier, and we do provide the best possible customer service and benefits that we can to our loyal customers.
I think Ben asked the question, maybe, and that's what we've been frustrated with. Who do we need to talk to?
Alaska
is it Raven?
Well, they won't come out. They've been asked to come out, but they haven't come out either. That's frustrating to everyone, too.
That is actually a help because we can direct our. I really think we need a community bonfire and we'll burn all our last airline cards. I got five of them. That's companion fares. You pay for companion fares. Every game you can play to try and get out of Dutch Harbor.
So with the mileage plan, we know we're going to have to talk to Alaska Airlines, but with the ticket prices, I'm not a pilot, but I would think with a smaller, slower aircraft, it would be cheaper to run out here. No, it's not. I was just curious what went into the drastic change in the actual ticket prices.
The ticket prices have gone up by about $30.
I was able to get it as cheap as $330 on Pan Air.
Not on Pan Air.
Alaska.
That was Alaska Airlines' pricing. So if you compare our pricing against Colbay, Sandpoint, St. Paul, Dead Horse, up in the north in Prudhoe, they're relative to our pricing structure that we have for our Dash 8s and our Saabs throughout the network. Yes, we understand it is, but it is a more costly aircraft. It's slower. We're having to make technical stops mostly on at least one of the trips, either down from Anchorage or back up. So it's more costly for us.
So I wasn't aware of the industry discount, but why does the industry get discounted and we don't?
I don't know what's happened in the past. I can assure you that, I can't comment.
How does that exist, but then we have to pay more?
They do the volume.
It's wrong. The assumption is wrong, and that's all I will say. Was there someone out there to come here?
Raven Airlines is doing everything in their power to make this agreement with Alaska Airlines for the Dash 8 or any other future aircraft that Raven is going to service our community with, correct? Like, yes. You're doing everything in your power, so we need to direct our attention to them on that matter, correct?
Yes.
We're fully committed to we're fully committed to the community here in Unalaska and flying to Dutch Harbor. Whether that's by ourselves as Raven Air Alaska or whether it's with Alaska Airlines, we're fully committed to the community.
We love that you're committed with or without them, but we want that agreement. So as long as you're doing everything on your side, you know, when we go to them, they better not say, well, Raven didn't accept it. That's all. Because that's what's next, pretty much. So in the future, so are you planning on to, like, so I want to go on vacation in June. Like, as was mentioned, we book our vacation 6 months out. I can't book a flight home here in June right now, which is understandable, but who's planning on doing that? We're all hoping Alaska does, but it doesn't sound like that, so.
We have been asked to put scheduled services through until the end of May.
Okay.
With my responsibilities and the airline, we are asking exactly the same question, and we are in discussions with Alaska Airlines about beyond May. I mean, whether it's people going on holiday, particularly the school district, but I also need to plan. I mean, normally I'm planning where the aircraft go 12 to 18 months ahead. So I've also got the challenge in a different way, and we're trying to get that answer.
We respect that, however, to live our normal lives, like to see our families and get supplies and stuff, you know, as was mentioned, we rely on that mileage plan. We will direct our attention as a community to Alaska Airlines to try to make that partnership, as long as you're saying that if Alaska Airlines is like, hey, let's sign this for Dutch with the Dash 8, etc., like you're good to go. Is it a goal to have that accomplished by May 31st?
Sorry, to have what accomplished by?
The Alaska Airlines mileage agreement with Raven Airlines for the Dutch Harbor location for the Dash 8 aircraft. Like, so we know we're the only ones who aren't part of, you know, the agreement. It's awesome that you're working with them. It's wonderful that you service all these communities. However, like, when are we gonna go back to normal? Like, it's normal for us to have weather delays. It's normal for us to have mechanical issues. It's normal to be stuck in Anchorage for 4 days sometimes. But it's not normal to have to, I did find out, guys, there's an intra-Alaska agreement with Alaska Airlines. So if you get canceled out of here, you just have to call. It's an unwritten rule. But if you call Alaska customer service when you get canceled, you don't have to pay those change fees. So I'm told. But yeah, so you're trying everything in your power as a company to sign the agreement with Alaska Airlines for here. And the ball's in their court, correct?
The ball is in Alaska Airlines' court,
okay.
Yes.
And then, so in June we have no deadline for who's flying here then?
I'm trying to get that decision made as soon as possible because I have all my scheduling to do.
But there's not like a goal date?
I've not managed to get a goal date yet, no.
Okay. I think it's kind of mandatory when we don't have service here.
We will not be in a position where you will not have service. It'll either be through Alaska Airlines, or it'll be through us directly.
So no matter, we appreciate you helping us, yeah. Providing us air service.
We made a major commitment in terms of changing our fleet to where it flies to service the community down here, and we hope, and that will continue, whether it's with the Dash, with the Saab, with or without Alaska Airlines, we will continue to fly down here.
Okay, all right, so it's gonna stay the same. And we're having a meeting next quarter. You mentioned yesterday on your radio show that you could get a one-way ticket, like one ticket for, what was it, 50 points? No, for here it's 100 points. So that means at 10 points a flight, because I'm not gonna make it out during this like double deals or whatever. That means I have to fly 10 segments, spend like over $5,000 to get one free flight. Like,
yeah.
That's, yeah.
Well, for the 100 points, yes.
Yeah,
and the five,
well,
yeah.
You said yesterday that you could get one ticket for it. That's the average. There's no deals for Dutch. I know it's a new program, but as a community, we'd like to see a little extra because that's what we require out here.